Good morning, everybody. Oh, come on. We could do better than that in the new year. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Man, now that sounds like 2025. Now, before I just jump into our talk for this week, I just need to know who I'm speaking to this morning. And the best way for me to know who I'm speaking to is to find out what everybody was eating on New Year's, right? So do I have any steak people in here? Any steak families? Okay, not many. Italian? Any Italian? Did anybody eat anything at all on New Year's? Anything at all? Did it just yell it out at me? What did you guys? Okay, ham, fish, okay. All right, that's good. I was worried. I was starting to think we started our goals before 2025, but good. I'm glad to know that most of us at least had something for New Year's. If you were like my family, we had just about everything under the sun. There wasn't one thing that was in unison with each other. I mean, we probably had a bowl of pasta next to some jalapeno poppers, next to some steak, next to some fish, and we ate all of it, and so it was all delicious, but I'm glad to know who I'm speaking to, my people, people who eat dinner on New Year's Eve. But before we get started, we're going to pray, and we're going to jump into today's talk. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity that we have just to be here today in community. God, I thank you for allowing us to be here at the start of 2025, beginning this new year. By diving into your word, growing deeper in a relationship with you. God, I pray that during this time you can open up our hearts and our minds to receive whatever it is you have for us. God, I pray that you help us eliminate distractions, that we may be completely present. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Man, coming up to the new year, I had plenty of conversations following Larry's talk from last week. If you were here for last week's message, could you just raise your hand? It's going to be a lot of participation in today's talk, so I'm glad you guys are just nailing it right off the bat. I was also here last week to listen to Larry, and his message brought up a lot of good questions, a lot of good conversations, some of it which were with my dad. And all of those conversations, they all really circled around goals, New Year's resolutions, rules of life, and they were all good conversations, challenging. They made me think about my own goals, practical ways that I could have rich, abundant life through them. Now, if you weren't here last week, I'm going to give a brief just covering of what he mentioned for the three things that were the goals from last week. The first one was intentionally eating more things made by God and less things processed by man. Hard thing to do. Really hard thing to do, tell you what. But yes, one of the things that Larry mentioned was eating more things made by God and less things processed by man. A great challenge, a great goal. One that you could kind of jump into at whatever level. The next one, this is a tough one. I see a lot of Yetis in the room. But it was drinking more water and less other stuff. It's a tough one. No amens on that one. No, I'm just kidding. I'll just joke. No, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Even when I drink water, I try, you know, I want to put some of that lemonade flavoring. And I know that's not made by God. That has to be like 1,000% processed. But that is another tough one. And lastly, the last one that Larry discussed was standing more and sitting less. So we're going to remove all of the chairs in today's service. No, but another tough thing. All three of these have brought just some really interesting challenges. You know, I can't tell if I should be really thankful for Larry or really upset, but because it seems like I can't do anything this past week without thinking about one of these three goals that he had mentioned. Now, these three goals that Larry had discussed, the whole point of each of them was to help us treat our body more like the temple. So that was the whole purpose behind these three goals. And at whatever level that you choose to jump into these goals, in one way or another, yeah, they'll help your body be treated more and more like the temple. Now, it's important to note something, and I try to make this as clear as possible anytime I get the opportunity to speak. No, I did not go about all three of these things perfectly in the past 5 days. It's January 5th today. Yeah, 5 days in. I did not go about these perfectly in the past week. In fact, just a couple nights ago, I had taco palenque. I am almost 1,000% certain that that's also not man, you know, made by God. That kitchen, I can only imagine. It's one of those restaurants that if you haven't been, you go through a drive-thru, and when they open up the door, you can see, like, directly into the kitchen. I don't know, man. That queso doesn't grow on trees, I'll tell you that. But yeah, it's been difficult. It's been difficult maintaining some of these goals, and I haven't been perfect about it. But I'd like to know, and this is where the participation begins, I'd like to know who in the service has made either a goal, a New Year's resolution, or a rule of life in 2025. Anybody in here have one of those? Okay, good deal. And continue this honesty. How many have made one that has to do with their relationship or walk with God? A goal that has to deal with one of those things. Okay, and the last question, and continue to be honest. We are in church, and we are live streaming. Who here has faced struggles with their goals already in 2025? I'm raising my hand because I am one of those people. Goals have always been a really difficult thing for me. Now, growing up, I was very goal-oriented. I think sports probably had a lot to do with that. You know, different, you know, times for running, how many points you score, how much you're going to be lifting in the weight room, all of those things mattered so much to me. It's kind of a shock that I'm not playing college sports now, to me. I think to younger Jorge as well. But, yeah, right, tell me about it. Still looking for my first dunk. But it was always a really difficult thing for me because I was very goal-oriented. And it kind of seems like a lot of us have experienced the same thing in the first 5 days of this year already, at least for the ones that raised our hands or the ones that were honest about it. In fact, most of the world faces the same struggle when it comes to goals in general. A study just recently posted said that 88% of people who make a New Year's resolution usually fail within the first 2 weeks of making a goal. Now, I promise this talk is one to encourage you and to spur you on and those sorts of things, but just stay with me through this tough information. 88% of people fail within the first 2 weeks of making a New Year's resolution. Now, what qualifies as failing at a goal is up for interpretation. I think in our own ways, you know, we fail at goals. For me, growing up, that was not running faster than my last time that I timed on whatever run I had. For me, that was not scoring as many points in a basketball game. For me, that was not reading as many pages as in the Bible as I did the day before. It was almost this mental competition that I had placed within my own mind. And it was a very difficult thing. Now, again, I can say that I have personally been a part of this statistic, the 88% that fail within the first 2 weeks. And I will say that the most difficult thing that comes with this, especially when we're talking about goals that deal with our personal relationship and walk with God, is the guilt that follows whenever I do fail at one of those goals. You know, I mentioned I had this goal 1 year that I was just going to read so many pages of the Bible. I was going to read it, you know, this much, this often. Initially, it seemed like a really good goal. And I think most people would probably say, yeah, you know, I think that's a good goal. You know, you should read your Bible. These are good things to have. But very quickly, I turned it into a competition with myself. And the first day, I remember what day it was because it just seared into my day. 56 days I went without missing. And on day 57, I forgot to read my Bible. And I was so frustrated. I was so upset. And I felt super guilty. On top of that, I just thought, well, there goes all 56 days, just down the drain, all of them. Day 57 just ruined this entire goal. I didn't read. God must be so upset with me. And immediately, this feeling of guilt starts to just build in my heart. And the horrible idea that follows that is God must be so upset with me. Oh, he must be so upset that I missed day 57. I'm sure day 57 had some really important stuff to it. The same goal that I had that was supposed to help me feel a rich and abundant life close to God was now bringing feelings of guilt, discouragement, frustration. And truth be told, on that day, I just kind of like crumpled it up and threw it in the trash. I was like, all right, that was a good run for whatever year that was. And we're just gonna forget about it. The goal's done. We gave it a good shot. So why is this? All those feelings, all that frustration, all that discouragement. Where does this even come from? This guilt, this distance. Where does this even come from? Well, I want to look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. And this is the story of the young rich man. And this is what it reads. It says, someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Other translations say, continue keeping the commandments as well. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? And Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now, at the start of this, you know, when I was preparing for this message, and this verse came to mind from a previous sermon that I had preached, it kind of seemed like two very distant thoughts, this piece of scripture and this topic that we're discussing. I was, you know, trying to realize and trying to understand, like, I'm not really sure how this connects, God, but for some reason, this is on my mind, this scripture. A lot of interesting things to notice here. First, you know, the rich young man, he goes to Jesus. He's asking about eternal life. So it tells us he knew who Jesus was, and he believed that Jesus had the answer to this question. Not only that, but the rich, you know, young man, he asked, what deeds must he do to have eternal life? Now, this is where things started to get really interesting for me. A deed is something that is done, an act or an action. Okay, so he's asking Jesus, what do I have to do? You tell me. I'm going to do it. And by what we read, you know, in some translations saying continue to keep the commandments or keep the commandments, it seems like he was already doing those things because he says, I've been keeping all these things. But he doesn't stop there. He finds that he's doing everything that Jesus tells him in order to have eternal life, but he still asks, what else? And Jesus tells him to sell everything, then follow, and he goes away sad. The story always, always, always just blew my mind out of the water because I thought this story should end right when he says, I've been doing all those things. Like balloons should come down from the sky and, you know, we're excited. Jesus tells him, do these things, you'll have eternal life. And he's saying, I've done these things. We're good. So by that, you know, I have eternal life. This is like the fun part. This is the celebration. This is the recognizing that I have eternal life. But instead of stopping there, the conversation goes forward. And instead of celebrating, he goes away sad. And it just always made me scratch my head. What on earth is happening in this passage? Why is he sad at this point in the story? Well, I had a great conversation with Larry about this. One of those conversations where you need like a notepad, you're like, that was good, Larry, like, let me write that down. We talked for, you know, a couple of minutes, it was much more than that, in his office. And when we were discussing this, the more and more we talked about it, when he first asked, the rich young man, when he first asked what deed he must do, I think what he was really asking for was a checklist of things that he could do. Don't steal. Don't lie, honor your mother and your father. All good things, but nonetheless a checklist. What deeds must I do? What acts must I do? Actions, what are things that I can do in order to have eternal life? And this is where it gets really juicy. So everybody just, you know, hang on. When Jesus told him to sell everything, Jesus wasn't wanting the rich young man to check a box. He was wanting him to change. And he goes away sad because he realized giving up all of these riches wasn't something he could just check and be like, oh, done. It was going to take a lot more than just a checking of the box. It was going to require a change of values, a change of lifestyle, and ultimately a change of heart. And so it was a very big challenge that Jesus was asking him. At the very first part, do all these things. The young man is, oh, I got that. Check, check. I do that. Check. I don't kill people ever. I'm doing great. Check. But to give away everything is going to require a lot more than me to just check a box. The goals Larry discussed last week, they're meant to help us experience rich, abundant lives the way God intended, but they are a process where long-term change takes place. They're not a checklist. And this is where the frustration with myself begins. You know, I told you guys about my history with goals and how, you know, I'm a very goal-oriented person. You tell me what to do, I'm going to get it done. You tell me where to be, I'll be there a minute early. You know, you tell me to buy so many things, I'll buy one extra. Like, I just want to be prepared, ready to go. You give me the number, I'll nail it every time. But when Jesus is asking for a change of lifestyle, a change of heart, a change of value, there's not a number you can really put on that. Instead, it is an entire process, and it's hard to measure. And these goals that Larry was discussing, they take time, and they're not instant. I'm going to share a story. It actually just came to mind during worship. And I'm going to just absolutely pull the curtain back here. If you think that most pastors have everything done and don't change everything before their talk, it's completely wrong. I had a pen while worship, and I was like, this is a great song, but I need to write this down. I was standing next to my brother's father-in-law, very close, do a lot of projects together. And because I'm the little brother, I oftentimes get recruited, and I'm honored. One of these projects that we were working on was to make a patio. Initially, sounds super easy. My brother calls me, he says, hey, we got this project, you want to come give a hand? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. That sounds fantastic. Let's go build a patio. I knew nothing about that. Well, the way that we were going to build this patio was we were going to lay down some like 10,000 bricks, and then we were going to make sure they were all evenly spaced, and then we were going to put borders around all the bricks, and then we were going to pour sand and sweep the sand into the cracks of the bricks. Yeah. So we get there. And I didn't really know the size of the patio. I kind of thought, you know, patios are meant for sitting, so a patio that can accommodate a table. No. No, this was a patio the size of Texas. A Texas-sized patio. And he drives in, I believe it was a 24-foot trailer, multiple pallets of bricks. And I was like, oh gosh, it's starting. This whole process is beginning. And it was three of us. And so we got to work. You know, we started laying down these bricks. I think my hands were stuck in that position for like the next like three weeks or so. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. In my head, what I assumed was, you know, when I signed up for this job, we're going to knock out this patio. It's going to be great. At the end of the day, we're going to sit down on the patio, drink some cold water. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to talk about this amazing patio for the rest of our lives. It's going to sit there forever. This was a couple years ago. But to my surprise, what I found is that instead of talking about how beautiful the patio was and how incredible it is and how great it looks now that it's done, you know what we talk about the most? We talk about the stories of us doing it, the actual building of the patio, the grabbing each brick and laying them individually, sweeping the sand, how hot it was that day, how fun it was when, you know, we accidentally dropped a brick on our toe. Like, we talked about all of those stories. And yes, we do look at the patio now and say, man, it's a beautiful patio. It is. But we talk about the stories, the process that took place in order to build that patio. Now, I shared that super long story to hopefully draw a connection that, yes, the initial checking of the box, the not, you know, stealing, the not lying, those are good things and they bring good things. But the really beautiful part about goals is the process that we all go through, where God works in our hearts, where change happens, where the difficulties, where, you know, where the rubber meets the road and God can actually work in our hearts. That That is the beauty. And change is not an easy, smooth sailing, straight line, but oftentimes it is a super bumpy, difficult, trying process. And it requires you to rely on more than just yourself, and it forces you to rely on God. It forces you to rely on God. When I look back at that first goal that I had mentioned, you know, where I was going to read as many days as I could in a row, I'm going to read as many Bible pages, and I stopped at 57, and I got upset. That is as far as I could go on my own power. 50 days, 57 days. That's as far as I could go on my own will. And then I messed up. And then I just gave up right there. I stopped reading. I read it like once a week after that. But that should have been the point where I pressed in harder, where I leaned more on God more than myself, and where I started to just let the process change me. 57 days was as good as I could get on my own. And I wonder, what if I would have kept going? It wouldn't have been a perfect streak of, you know, however many days anymore at that point. But that would have been the point where I realized, all right, I reached the end of myself here. This was me saying, I'm going to get up at this time, and I'm going to be accountable, and this is where I'm going to read. Past that point would have been me relying on God and saying, all right, I'm not perfect, God, but I still want this. Continue to change me. Continue to change me. Work this process out in me. When we rely on ourselves, this is where the disappointment comes from. That young man who goes away sad. The frustration when we fail our goals. All those feelings that are coming from such a good thing. Goals that should make us feel and live rich, abundant lives. That's where those feelings come from. When we're relying on ourselves. Because we're upset. We're upset that we couldn't do it. We're upset that like it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. The feelings of distance, discouragement, frustration, that's where they come from. They're not coming from God. God's not this like upset guy. I can't, now that I look back at, you know, high school Jorge, I can't imagine that God was up there like, man, day 57, Jorge. I had big things for you on day 57. And because you didn't read it, now look where we are. Maybe you can try again in the next year. Like, what a silly thought, you know. But back then, that truly is what I believed. I was like, this is it. This is the end. Like, God can no longer work something out in me because I didn't read day 57. What a horrible idea that is. But the true reward in all of this, in the goals, in the hard work that you're putting into to just allow God to work in you, the true reward is God changing and working in you through your goals, through your life rules, and through your New Year's resolutions. That's the true reward. The true reward wasn't the patio being finished. The true reward was getting to build relationships with my brother, with my friend, and with my brother's father-in-law. When we were laying down those bricks on that hot summer day, and at the end of the day, when we looked at it and we were thinking, that's a great patio. That was the true reward. The true reward was the process of getting there. The reward was not checking the box and completing the goal for the day. And so often, that is what I personally mix up. I think, you know, I checked the box, we're good, one step closer to God, almost like if you imagine, you know, like a piece on a game board, you move your person one step closer. I checked the box, one step closer to God, we are so close. Another day, another day, another day. And then when I miss a day, it like almost as if it starts me back from the beginning. The reward is not checking the box and just completing my goal for the day. So when you fail or you struggle or you begin to feel that disappointment, my encouragement to you is to not stop or quit or give up or say, you know what, we'll get it next year. But remember that God is working in you even in that moment. That the process is the true reward. The process is the true reward. So when you face that difficulty, that moment of failure, don't go away sad like the rich young man. What if the rich young man, you know, would have realized like, all right, this is a tough challenge. He wants me to get rid of everything that I own. But what if he did it? What if he got rid of everything he owned? What if he gave it to the poor? What if he followed Jesus? It makes me wonder where that story would have gone, the change that would have happened in his heart. And we don't know. We don't see the end of that story. But I have a great imagination, and it really makes me wonder all of the good things that could come from a change like that. But I'm sure if he would decide to get rid of his things, that it wouldn't just be a, all right, here are all my things, I'm a new man. I'm sure it'd be, here are all my things, I'm sad about it, I'm hurt about it, but God is working in me, he's changing me, and over time, I'm sure he changed completely. So my last closing thoughts. My encouragement to you is to recognize the process of God working in you. And to do this, you'll have to rely more and more on him and a lot less on ourselves. So if you hear nothing else from today, you just took a nap, it's totally okay. It's comfy chairs, which is why we're getting rid of the chairs. If you only heard the funny stories of me laying bricks and, you know, sweeping sand, hear this. This one thing. The process is the reward. The process is the reward. So when you hit that wall with your goals, because we all will, I'm sure we will. If you don't, you're one of the 9% that make it. That is a statistic. But if you don't and you face this hard point in your goals, remember, this is the good part. This is the reward. This is the change. This is the work that's happening in that exact moment. And that is the true reward. So at Inside Out, which is our youth group here, we always end with a challenge. We always do. And I'm sure, you know, 12% of our students probably actually take the challenge. But for those 12% who take the challenge, I'm sure it brings some goodness to them. So we're going to do the same thing here. I have a challenge for y'all. And it's simply a question that you can write down and answer at another time. But here's the challenge. How are you going to approach your goals moving forward? How are you going to approach your goals moving forward? That is my challenge to y'all. Answer that question at some point this week. I'll be honest in how I responded to that. My response to how I'm going to approach my goals moving forward is this. Failing at a goal doesn't mean the end. That is how I'm approaching my goals. Failing my goal does not mean the end. If I fail, I will continue going. I'm going to continue to let God work in me. I'm going to let the process be the reward, and I'm going to continue to move forward. So I hope you each have some time to answer that question. I hope this was a word of encouragement to you guys as you move into the next year. I got a couple of announcements, and then we'll pray. The first announcement is if you're a volunteer, I'm going to give you a 30-second head start before we pray out to get to where you need to go. And the last announcement, wow, that's actually really convenient. I was joking about this, but I do have an announcement here. We actually are going to move chairs this is for the 11 o'clock. So, no, you guys are good. You're good. Sorry. For a moment there, I was like, oh, man, they actually want me to say this. Okay, you're good. We're not moving chairs. That's for the 11 o'clock. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you again for the community that you have given us. God, I pray that we can be a community that supports one another, that encourages each other. God, a community that puts you first above everything else. God, I pray that we can be a community that seeks you as we chase these goals and other goals that we have created. Lord, please help us create goals that ultimately all bring us to you. God, I pray that as we go into this new year, as we face difficulties, as we just face challenges and trials, God, that you help us remember the process is the reward. I thank you for the way that you're working in us and in this church. God, it is in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great Sunday.